Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
And we are back on Ion Houston. I'm Dr. Laura Murillo, President and CEO of the Houston Hispanic Chamber of Commerce. We've had a great program today, including Commissioner Adrian Garcia, Kirk Watson, a former state senator and Austin mayor who's now leading the University of Houston School of Public Affairs. We had Ed Cerna from the Texas Workforce Commission, Timothy Jeffco from the U.S. Small Business Administration, our fire chief, Samuel Pena. Also on the call was our chairman for 2021 and also the chairman of Cadence Bank Corporation, Paul Murphy. To wrap up our show, we have none other than Mario Diaz, who's a former executive of the year by the Houston Hispanic Chamber of Commerce, who heads up our City of Houston as the aviation director for the Houston Airport System. Mario, welcome.
I'm glad to be with you, Laura.
Well, you guys have been great partners in the Chamber of Commerce, and we couldn't have this first conversation of returning back on the airwaves without hearing from you and learning a little bit about what we're seeing at the airports during this difficult time. So if you would kindly just get us caught up.
Sure. I think, you know, they say that the airport business is a derivative of the economic function of airlines. That is, airports exist because airlines exist. And of course, if you ask an executive of an airline what has happened with COVID-19 and when will traffic return, I think the very first thing that they'll tell you is when will the economy reopen? And I think it was, it started in probably in the late February, in the middle of March, but in the depths of this COVID-19, I think we really felt in the middle of April, when traffic in the United States and really around the world plunged dramatically, just unprecedented in the history of aviation worldwide. To give you some sense, you know, there was at the Houston airport system, you had something like a 96% drop in passenger traffic. And what was interesting about it was that this drop wasn't regional. We are one aviation network in this country. And I think that was one would expect it, but to actually see it. There wasn't very much difference whether you were New York, Los Angeles, Chicago, or Houston, or any airport in between. Traffic plummeted to about by 93 to 95, 97% of the year before for the same period. And as a result, of course, revenues were not coming in either for the airlines or for the airport system, although we had contracts with the airlines and concessionaires. And everyone moved into survival mode. That is, the strength of your ability to make it through COVID-19, of course, was based on your balance sheet. And that is how much cash reserves you had. Fortunately, the airport system, we've done a pretty good job. I have an excellent chief financial officer, really a really just great overall team that assists me in the management of the airport. And we had plenty of unrestricted cash. And when we entered into the COVID-19 pandemic event, and we had over $500 million of cash sitting there. And so we were pretty well situated. And then we reached out to the airlines, and they were preserving cash dramatically, the concessionaires. And as traffic plummeted, we took some steps to help them out in terms of providing them with deferred payment of their rentals, also the concessionaires. But what we actually saw was first the airlines cut back on their frequencies, which is the number of trips that they make per day or per week to any destination around the world. And then eventually just cut routes altogether. That is, cut the links between Houston and many of the countries. And just to give you some idea, at the end of February, the airport system was connected with about 38 countries, and we served over 191 cities. In the middle of April, we were down to 4 countries, including one being the United States and 3 international countries, 3 cities really in 3 countries. And we were down to about 101 cities. And most of them were all domestic, except for 3 that were international. The borders closed, international borders closed around the world, starting with China and then, of course, moving to Europe. Then Latin America, the borders with Mexico and Canada also closed. And it was just a freeze, an overall freeze in the entire aviation sector. What we have been doing since, of course, is we have been, now that the April plunge has taken place, we are seeing some return to towards a level of, and I won't call it normal, I'll call it a new normal. And that is really based on the rate and pace of the opening of the economy. Now, I believe that there are going to be 3 key distinct milestones that we have to look at in order for us to gauge whether we will continue on this path toward recovery. Number one, it is that the economy of the United States continues to open, and it continues to open continuously, gradually, with no dramatic drops. That is, there isn't a second wave of COVID-19 that halts the progress towards reopening of the economy. That's number one. Number two, in order for passengers to fly again, that is to come back to an airport, we have to make, the airlines have to make together, we jointly have to make passengers first safe, comfortable, and we need to do that in a number of ways so that passengers feel that they can get back onto an airplane and that they will be safe the entire trip and comfortable. And how do we do that? Well, first is that there's got to be, and we're moving rapidly toward this point. I think this is an early on, and probably toward the middle of this month of June, but certainly into the first, second week in July, ample quality testing for COVID-19 that is universal, and price at prices people will afford and will actually do. Because the difficulty with COVID-19 is it's unseen. And one of the ways that we can mitigate that is if people get tested and we know who has the COVID-19 and who does not. So that's the first milestone. And I think once we get sufficient testing and contact tracing in place, I think people feel much more comfortable coming to an airport knowing that they've been tested, and the people that are traveling on this airplane with them have also been tested, and they will be fine going to the destination. I think the second to further that comfort, that feeling of safety and comfort, is a cure, which we do not have at this moment. But maybe towards the end of this year, there's really, really good progress being made by pharmaceutical countries around the world on solving this very, very critical issue. Problem, and maybe by the end of the year to January of next year, we'll have that. And then, of course, there is a vaccine. Once the vaccine is in place, then I think travelers will feel much, much more comfortable and will come back to airports. Who are these travelers? Well, first, the people that are traveling today are first responders, medical personnel that are traveling from city to city to help out. Recently, you saw the event happened on United Airlines with the flight from New York over to San Francisco, and the difficulty with not being able to maintain social distancing, and all those workers, those were healthcare workers, they were first responders. And I think United doesn't get enough credit for the fact that at the airplane, as I understand it, was originally only about 60-some% occupancy. But then there came at the last minute about 27 workers that United allowed to get on free without charge. And they, of course, created this packed scene that you saw on the airplane. It was unfortunate, but it's something that I think the airlines are dealing with better as time goes on. And you have to remember that these flights that are available, they're very, very limited, and they're not very frequent. And so When you want to travel today from one part of the country to the other, there are very, very limited choice of options that you have. Beyond the frontline workers and first responders, medical personnel, I think the people that will first return are the leisure travelers, individuals needing to visit family and relatives, and then, of course, the business person that really just must conduct business, some of them that are currently flying today. And how we make these individuals comfortable, the passengers comfortable, which is now what everyone is underway. We talk about this touchless airport. And the touchless airport is an airport where passengers come in and they really don't have to touch anything. They drop their bags off, self-tag, and drop off so no one touches their bag. They have electronic boarding passes. They use facial recognition when they get to the security checkpoint and facial recognition that allows them to board the aircraft without having to touch anything throughout the airport. But despite that, we want to make sure that we are doubly making them comfortable by assuring them, as the airlines are doing, that we are deep cleaning with the proper products, with the proper frequencies, and all touch points throughout the airport, so that some passengers will feel comfortable. We are asking all the airlines and all passengers as they enter the terminals to wear face masks. And then, of course, to maintain social distancing. And as you enter the terminals, you'll see these signs. You'll see the footprints on the floor at all queuing locations as you enter the terminals, reminding people to maintain social distance, reminding people to wear a face mask. And as time proceeds, we think that with the economy continuing to open, we have a very good shot. By the end of this year, maybe into March, April of next year, of getting back to a new normal.
Well, and on that question, you know, we've got so many people, especially young college students and families, trying to get back to their destination. What would you have to share for those families who are concerned about their young children flying throughout the country to get back to school?
I would say what individuals need to do is to practice good etiquette and good social behavior when entering airports and entering terminals and certainly getting onto airplanes. Remember that the critical link in this is the airplane, because that's a tube and that tube has limited space. And so you do have to understand that when you get onto that airplane, that is the key, is really making sure you wear a face mask, that you wipe down the area around you, which the airlines have already done it, but if you feel uncomfortable, continue to wipe it down. And then, of course, when you use the bathrooms and as you receive service, all the protocols have been changed to safeguard and to protect the passengers. It is a risk, nevertheless, traveling today, but that risk is being mitigated as much as possible to allow domestic first, because that's really what we're talking about here. International borders are closed, and until new international agreements are reached, as between, for example, the United States and China and the European Union and Latin American countries, those flights will not be happening for a while. But domestically, it's a question of getting back on those airplanes and doing everything that you can that's possible, the airlines, the airports, and of course, passengers, to maintain safety and to create a level of comfort. And I think we can do that.
Well, and you've put a great emphasis on, again, doing what we can individually and knowing that our Houston airport system is doing what they can and are the airlines. And so once again, on behalf of our board of directors, Director Diaz, thank you so much for all of your leadership and to your team for getting us all of this information and for joining us, you guys, on this call today on as we wrap up here, Eye on Houston. I'd like to once again thank our guest, Mario Diaz, and all of the folks we interviewed today. Please make sure you like us on Facebook. We ask that you have a great morning. On behalf of our board of directors, I'm Dr. Laura Murillo, President and CEO of the Houston Hispanic Chamber of Commerce.